Oh, scaling up means getting consistent and reliable at your core process. It also means adding a lot of bodies to your business, and that always does damage to the first part. So how do you scale up? You add employees, you add customers, while getting better and more refined at core processes that drive the business and allow you to scale in the first place. Well, that's what today's show is all about. We're going to share with you a particular software tool with the founder of that company, and we're going to underline the core processes of doing your core process. So what are the key elements of that? The two biggest things that you want to do over time to get your core processes tuned up and to getting your people trained and conforming to them and so on. So that's the work that we're going to do in this show. What we're going to talk about, listen in. Hello and welcome again to the Scaling Up Business Podcast. I'm your host and growth coach, Bill Gallagher. So on the show with me today is a guy that I met recently in one of our accelerator programs. So I, some of you may know, I run, I act as a trainer. Well, I've had a variety of things around an accelerator program. So our accelerator programs are run under the organization, the Entrepreneurs, or the EO organization, a global organization for entrepreneurs in, I don't know, 175 city chapters around the world now, roughly, you know, more than 100 countries. And it's a big old organization that's awesome, and 12,000 entrepreneurs. And we have this accelerator program that takes the work that we do with bigger companies scaling up, right? The core of scaling up, all that framework, the Rock habits and all that stuff, people, strategy, execution, cash, and provides it to earlier stage companies, companies that are yet to hit $1 million, right? And the guy that I have on today, Chris here, is one of the success stories. He's a recent graduate, or he just recently completed, took his latest business over the $1 million mark and is starting to grow. And I think the business is really useful for lots of our bigger companies as well. So I invited him on because I could see it immediately useful for some of my clients. And I heard about it from other coaches as well. And he's a super guy. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great hanging out with you a couple weeks ago. I'm excited to be here.
Right. So I was leading the program for the Phoenix, for the Arizona chapter in Scottsdale. And they've got a pretty robust group. I think we had about 60 entrepreneurs there, and we were doing a deep dive on people. So lots of things around people, in particular process stuff, right? We spent some time where we have process, which this is totally appropriate for, apropos to. How do we scale our process? How do we get consistent, right? That's key to scaling up, is getting standardized and consistent around some core process. And Train You All, Chris's company, has a great tool for that that I think is useful for our clients with hundreds of millions of dollar companies. So if you're at whatever stage you are, this is a cool tool. And he's going to talk about it and how he came up with it and the difference it makes and so on. So it's really super. You're in Scottsdale today, right? Which is a suburb or connected to Phoenix.
Yeah, right outside of Phoenix.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So, and I see you're in your fancy new podcasting studio in the making there with your good background. Love that.
Yep. And I'm sitting on a rickety table because we have, the stools haven't come in yet. So hopefully I don't fall off.
Yeah. Now, anybody who's been around recording studios of any TV audio knows just how flimsy they can be behind the thing. How janky. All right. So we're going to talk about your business today and what does Train You'll do and why it's relevant to companies trying to get their processes crisper, more consistent, scaling better. But let's start off with, how did you come up with this company? How did you, like, tell us a little of your entrepreneurial journey, because I think it'll give insight to the problem that you solve here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been an entrepreneur for officially 18 years. I started my first company when I was 14 years old. I was a high school kid, and I remember walking through our job fair and seeing that we had this video department, and I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to be a camera guy. So a friend and I grabbed the cameras, and we learned how to use them and started our own TV show. And this was in Boston, a suburb of Boston. And at the time, it was kind of just when the digital equipment had first started to come out. So my friend and I were the only ones in town that could use and check out this gear. So we put our show on TV and it aired 50 or 60 times a week because they had nothing else to play. So I was working in the grocery store at the time. And it's funny, that's become one of our core values is carrying the groceries. I've got it here on my cup. But
nice.
I was working in the grocery store at the time and people kept coming up to me and saying, you're the video guy. Can you record this bar mitzvah or this party or my grandpa's turning 90? And I would be in school walking through the hallways and the senior girls would come up to me and say, I was babysitting the other night and your show was all that was on. So I watched it twice.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So as a kind of a 14-year-old, mini celebrity in our town, I ate that up. I thought I could start a business around this. There's a demand for video. So pretty quickly after that, we were in our field house and we were interviewing the cheerleaders because they, what else would we do as high school guys? They were about to participate in some big championship. And so we were interviewing the team and someone came over from the school and said, if you guys are around on Saturday, would you record the event? And in exchange, you can sell copies. We just want one for our archives, but you can sell them to everyone that comes through. So my friend had the camera. He was in the stands. I had a table set up behind the bleachers with my only button-up shirt at the time. And all day we sold $10 VHS tapes. And that's really how my video company started. And so what we found was that by doing event videos, we had this repeatable source of clientele that they would have events, championships every month, every week, every quarter, every year. So little by little through high school and college, I started to get bigger and bigger organizations to sign on with us. So by the time I was finishing up college, it was 2008, 2009, we had events up and down the East Coast and I had a small office in Boston with four employees. And at that time, I really wanted to grow the business. So I decided to move out west to Arizona. I packed up everything I owned and my girlfriend, she came too. And we drove out to Arizona to really grow the business. And a really cool thing happened is originally I thought I was going to open up an office out here in Arizona. But around the same time, one of my employees from Boston wanted to move to California. And he ended up setting up our second production office, which left me alone in Arizona with no employees and no office to go to and just an apartment and a bunch of ideas. And so I spent the next few years working on our systems of the business instead of having anywhere to go to. And over that time, we grew to over 300 camera operators doing events all around the country. And some of the biggest events like the U.S. Figure Skating Championships all the way up to the Olympics, like some of the Winter Olympic athletes that just performed, I grew up watching. We did the NFL Pro Bowl halftime show, the cheerleaders and dancers at the halftime show. We did the synchronized swimming championship, international synchronized swimming championships. And so we were doing some really fun, big events, but it was all out of my apartment. And, with guys we were finding off Craigslist in all 50 states. And so when I sold that business in 2013, I realized that what I had done at that point was pretty unique in that I was running all these events, hundreds of events around the country. We were shipping tens of thousands of DVDs and live streaming videos and everything to countries around the world. We had done it all based on two real lessons. First, technology changes so quickly. And in starting a video business in 2000, 2001, and growing that for 12 years, we started off with VCRs and VHS tapes, and you couldn't even edit on a computer. And that went through so many iterations. Every 6 months, we were getting new cameras, we were video CDs, HD DVD, Blu-ray, online streaming, USB sticks. It just technology was constantly changing. And we became really adept at using software tools online to remotely interact with the people we were working with. And then the second thing is that the business needed to run on really systematic processes, and systems and processes were crucial. If we could get someone up and running in St. Louis that we'd never met before, that was going to go to a youth event and represent us as a company, they needed to have everything really dialed in. And so that combination of technology and systems led me into my next business, which was an operations consulting company. So over the last few years, I worked with almost 150 businesses one-on-one, rebuilding the operations inside their company. And it was an amazing experience. I mean, I know
sounds painful to a guy like me.
I see you groaning over there, but it really was cool because for me growing up in one industry in video production, it gave me a chance to see how the lessons from that business applied to every other industry. So we worked with contractors, we worked with retail, medical, professional services, and the same lessons that we got out of the video company applied everywhere. So through that business, I got to work with a lot of companies, and I saw that the ones that were really scaling, the ones that were really growing, had figured out this simple formula. And it was that they would really hone in on doing one thing consistently. They were great at doing something, and they did it the same way over and over. And once they could do it consistently, they would document it or they would write it down to empower someone else to do it. And then they could delegate it and have the expectation that it would actually be done correctly. So some companies would just flounder and they would, you know, they're always trying things differently and they just could never scale. But the ones that could scale would do it consistently, document it clearly, and then they could delegate it and know that that it would be done the same way every time.
We have listeners of all different sizes. We have listeners with hundreds of millions of dollar companies. We have listeners within billion-dollar companies. We have, and then we have people to start up an early stage, a big range of folks that we hear from. And I work with a handful of companies. So I work with, I think between the couple cities that I do right now, I have about 90 folks accelerator stage below a million. And then our average client is like 60 million. But I see companies from say about 6 million to about half a billion. What I notice is that it's not that hard to get to, say, 3 to 7 million without having focused your business. I even see some companies that get to as high as 10 million, but very rarely do I see people hit the $10 million mark in sales with an unfocused business. So they're trying to be everything. And a great example is like a contractor, right? I'm a contractor. I build houses. I renovate your bathroom. I'll redo your office. I'll do this or that. That business doesn't scale until you say, no, I just focus on restaurants and retail. And we do them and we have a process, and we have a method, and we teach our people. And so when you pick a focus area, that's when we can start to scale. We can get more efficient. We can innovate. And that's a key thing for companies that are trying to get I'm really talking to those folks now between the earliest stage and $10 million. That getting to that mark, really, it's critical to do this. Now, it's all a lot faster if you start even at the inception point. The trouble is that at the inception of the business, right, in the formulation stage, like you're walking around and talking lots of different companies, you haven't yet honed in on the thing that you do well, that's unique, that so you can't often pick the area that you want to focus and scale on because you haven't sort of felt your way through it. Unless right. You walk right in with the clarity of that and a key problem and you're just going to solve that problem. So if you start with a key problem, but if you're trying to figure out sort of who you are and what you do and what's unique and you're already doing something in some area, that focusing on and solving one key problem that is critical to your scaling and then they need tools like yours is the key challenge at this point. Now, it's a little off topic, but I think it's so important for companies at this stage, like from 0 to 7 million, to see that one of the key challenges that they have to getting well beyond that is focusing in on something. Then as you get bigger, then of course there's another problem, your temptation to once again, like do all kinds of crazy stuff and get outside of your zone.
I think it's a cycle because there's a, you know, this dichotomy between focus and testing. And you always want to be testing because there could be a better way to do what you're doing. But then you want to decide what the best way is and quickly focus on that. And then now test that one against some other new ideas. And so I think A/B testing or whatever you call it is a positive thing. But when companies are far too scattered and they're doing too many things, then you can't measure those things against each other. So, and to your point about when you're just starting out, With my video company, like I mentioned, we started with bar mitzvahs and weddings and really anything that required a camera. And then from there, we discovered events, which was, we were doing cheerleading and dance. And then from there, we discovered private events with participants that had a lot of money, which was figure skating and equestrian and swimming and the things that, they would be willing to pay more for video of. So I think it's just a process of testing.
Figure out where you belong. Now, you're right that there's an ongoing R&D process, right, that we need to be mindful of, but we want to manage that ongoing because the market changes, the world changes. We have to continue to evolve with it over time and then pick the next thing to throw our weight behind. So let's go back to Trainual and how you developed and honed in on that and what that actually does.
Yeah, so I was sitting at these conferences and these workshops and masterminds, and everyone's reading the books like Scaling Up and some others, and they talk about how important your systems are and how important it is to make sure that you've got accountability and you're setting the right expectations. And if you talk to any business owner, I think that the ideal state for their business would be that things just run perfectly.
Absolutely. Smooth, drama-free.
Right. Everybody wants that, and they can articulate it in different ways. But the idea of having engaged, productive, aligned employees that know the expectations on them for the company and that know how they're being measured and they know how to do their job and there's no gray area and there's as little turnover as possible. That's what every company is striving for. But as I worked with those 150 businesses, I saw that the best tools that most companies had to make progress in that area were something like Google Docs or Word Docs.
Right.
Or maybe they had binders up on the shelf that hadn't been updated in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so the idea of standard operating procedures has been around forever, but it hasn't really been modernized in a way that it's accessible to employees of today. And so there's this hybrid between proper onboarding and proper training and having your processes documented in a way that people can learn them once, but then refer to them forever. And that solution didn't seem to exist out there. So like I said, at the bottom of the market, there's paper and Dropbox folders that just get cluttered. And at the top of the market, there's enterprise learning management systems, things like that, that are more about training or education or compliance. But in between, there wasn't a good solution for the operations side of how this business works, the manual for the business. And that's what I wanted to create.
It's awesome. So every business needs a manual. I work regularly with companies on core processes. I just did a number of our private team coaching clients taking through the process. We did process work with the Excel. So you identify core processes within your company. Maybe it's your sales process. Maybe it's the onboarding or the client service process, the fulfillment. Maybe it's the capacity side of things, your production and purchasing, or your onboarding of new servers or staff. There's all these processes, and you want to get consistent with them, and that's what your software does, right? Your platform, really.
Absolutely. It's a tool where you can outline and write down and communicate how you do what you do.
Right. So I want to document our client management. We go in there, we start to write it out, right? We take all of our checklists and workflows and timetables and things like that. And we start to put them into the Trainual system. Then we can add images, video, things like that as well. Yeah.
Yep. So it's as simple as making a Word doc or a Google doc. You can use text, you can embed videos, screenshots, photos, documents, links, tables, however you want to communicate what it is that you're doing. And then you group those into, you have multiple steps within a process. And then for each process, you can group them into roles in your business. So we talk about clarity for roles and responsibilities and the process accountability chart. Within Trainual, you can take your processes and group them together and say, this role in the company is responsible for these 10 things.
Right.
And now when I go and hire another one of those, it's one click to say, this is the person, this is their role, and instantly they have access to everything they need to learn and reference in the future.
Yeah, so this is really great. And I want to underscore, I didn't understand it at first, but Trainual really addresses two things. One is the ongoing sort of manual for the role and the process. I've got an ongoing resource and then the initial training. So somebody can be sent through to do initial training using the Trainual system. Then they can also use it ongoingly to go back and like, oh, how do I do that again? I need to reset the shipping process and the whatever. And they can go back and find that in there as well.
Yeah. So one cool thing we built in is that as your processes change, a lot of times you might make copies of the document or newest versions, and you don't remember whether you've circulated that and who knows how to do things which way, and things can get messy. So within Trainual, when you update a process, anyone that's assigned to that process can be notified. And if you add steps to a process, it'll automatically tell everyone that is assigned to that to go back into the system and check it out, because when they were previously at 100% completion, now they're back at 87% because there's a few new steps they need to go through. So Trainual automatically encourages and gamifies it so that your employees are always up to speed.
So I didn't prep you with this, right? But let me just challenge you a little bit on this spot. How does it compare to the most common tool that I see for this is a wiki, aside from the scattered things? So how does it compare to that as a solution?
So it's sort of a hybrid between a wiki and a learning management system. In a wiki, you can create, you know, it was funny, we were featured on Product Hunt a couple months ago, if you know what that is. And they called us Wikipedia for your business, which I loved because it gets to the core value of you know, documenting everything. But the benefit beyond that is it's not just scattered searchable documents. You can actually group them and cluster them into roles in the company. You can assign them to people and see percentage completion. There's an accountability factor where there's reports that show you who's completed what and exactly when. So it's just a little bit deeper than what you could get with a wiki.
Oh, beautiful response. I think that, so that's what I really want people to get. You can go and create a wiki for the key parts of your business that can become a resource. But if you want to bring in sort of a learning management type function to it, that's where a system like Trainual comes in. So give us an example of this in progress. Tell us about a company. So I have a client this year that's added over 100 employees and will add lots more this year. How does this help? What does it look like in reality, right?
So when you're hiring people that quickly, you're hiring and training all the time. And I think the hardest part of doing that is to do it consistently, because if the person that's delivering the one-to-one training is in a bad mood one day or gets to work late or something like that, everybody will have a slightly different training experience. And then if things change 6 months through your hiring, did you go back and update the first 6 months of people that on whatever those changes were? So one of the companies that started using this when it was just an early beta version is a company called Design Pickle. They offer unlimited graphic design. They've grown really fast from 3 to 130 employees in 2 years. And they started using Trainual with 3 employees. So the benefit to documenting their systems and their training in Trainual was first that their workforce is remote. Their designers are located mostly in the Philippines and around the world. And if they want to deliver a consistent onboarding process to the systems of the business, they're not doing that in a physical setting with an orientation that's run by the same person. So first of all, Trainual let them deliver things consistently, just the basic introduction to the company, the basic expectations of the company, the values, the things you need to know about who's on the team and where you're going. And then beyond that, it's the job, the functional training of how do you actually do the graphic design? How do you communicate with the client? How do you send revised files? How do you store things in Box? How do you, you know, there's so many systems we use for our business that this is the one centralized place where you can really describe it all. What companies that aren't growing as quickly often do is they are training, they are documenting it, but they're doing it through email in one-off communication. They get asked a question and they'll write that response, but they're not putting it in a place that's repeatable where they can deliver it over and over again. So that company, Design Pickle, went from, you know, a few processes documented in Trainual to now almost 200 in Trainual, because as their business has grown, every time they think of here's something I'm going to communicate to one person or a department or something. Let me put it in here and assign it, because then it's there indefinitely for everyone else that'll need it in the future, as opposed to let me communicate it in some one-off way.
Hmm. Really useful. So that company's gone from 3 to 130 employees now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing wonderful.
Awesome. And I can imagine this helping in lots of but even if you don't use this particular solution, thinking about, right, because I don't want the show just to be like pitching here, out the one bit. But this, the nature of clearly documenting and managing the training and the ongoing training of people, as well as providing a common, consistent reference, right, is what we're after. And that goes to taking a tool like the process accountability chart, where we identify core processes, we establish owners and metrics, and then we work using lean methods to improve those processes over time. We want to have some kind of reference like this where we can both train and document stuff. And whether you manage them separately or in a combined thing, I was intrigued by this nature. And I thought your story as well is pretty useful. But all of our companies going rapidly, wanting to add people and not teach people. But I'm even thinking now, like, okay, we're about to change out our main client coordinator. And that's a key important role that does onboarding and ongoing account management. So we've been documenting our processes. Yeah. And I'll need to train the next person to do it. We have checklists and timetables, right? All of those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's funny. When someone important puts in their notice, what's the first thing you do? You say, all right, you've got 2 weeks to write down everything you do, right? Because you need to train the next person. Or in a lot of cases, the companies I've worked with have been afraid to fire someone that they know they need to fire because they're so worried about how they're going to get that tribal knowledge out, how they're going to get the next person up to speed. Will they have to jump in and do the job themselves? They don't even know how it's done. That's the benefit to documenting your system somewhere, at least, because then you have a reference for how the job is done.
Well, you think about how it's looked in the past when we manage processes within companies, right? You go next to a particular workstation in some business, and there's like a slightly dog-eared piece of paper taped to the partition or the wall next to the monitor, and on it has these steps written out, including scribbled in passwords for access to various systems. Right. And it's like, okay, do this, do that. And then somebody wrote in because somebody else forgot something or realized the step changed or whatever like that. And then behind it is like a picture of a screen with a like circle click here. And then in a better company, there's a nice little binder where somebody's added dividers and things like that. And you can flip that open and then walk through the steps when you start a position. And then really, sexy companies will have little cards and things like that where they've implemented lean and that kind of thing. But it's always like a hodgepodge of things that, you know, masking tape and
absolutely
wire and holding the company together.
Yeah. And there's been so many cool examples of how people are using this that, you know, that have gotten up to speed and have told us, you know, one company up in Denver, they're a medical spa that they do things like Botox and those kind of treatments. They use it for their hiring process, where even before someone becomes an employee of the company, they have a role that they call candidate. And they'll assign that person some basic information and a little test to see if they'll even get through that hurdle before being an employee. And that's helped them a lot. And then training on medical aesthetics is something that you've got a pretty high paid doctor doing. And for them to sit around and hold hands and train people, it was taking her 6 months before to get someone up to the point that she felt they were fully trained. So now by investing the time and writing down her systems, she's able to assign that as a 2-week training program to someone to get them up to speed before they even are in the room together. And so the power of just getting your business out of your brain is it elevates you wherever you're at in the company, whatever size your business is, whether you're an employee at a company and you'd like to move higher up, or it's your business and you'd like to move out or just come into the office less frequently. The power of writing down what you're still responsible for is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You're scaling up. You're dealing with the growth of the business. We want to free you up so that you can focus on the most important things, right? That's a more profitable use of your time than the same kinds of routine things. So get documenting. Start with your top process, your most important things, your regular operations, not the special cases, right? And then, so let's document those, get those into some kind of a system, whether it's a system like Trainual or something else. Let's get those things documented in so you can hand them over and really set yourself out of them, step away from those things. And then we want to organize that and then train people ongoingly in that, not only as they come on board for the first time, but as those processes change, we have a place to do that, a system to do that. So learning and then ongoing reference are kind of the two key functions that we're addressing here. Both are critical, whether you use a system like Trainual or not, and critical to getting consistent with that, with those core processes over time. And that's a key idea of scaling up, and sort of and completely enmeshed with the methods of lean, right? So lean processes.
Absolutely. A simple thing I recommend to people if they're just getting started is, it might sound daunting to create a time log of everything you're doing, but most of us operate based on a calendar. And we've got Outlook, or we've got a Google Calendar. And so if for 1 week, you can just at the end of every appointment, adjust the appointment to the actual time that you spent on that appointment, and go through your day adjusting your calendar at looking back, then at the end of the week, you've got a perfect time log of exactly where all your time went. And you can see very objectively where you're spending the most time. So for people that are looking to free up some capacity or try to decide what's the next role I need to hire, that's a simple thing you can do over this week.
That's a super great takeaway. And I work with a lot of people on productivity on a pretty regular basis, and I've never done that one before, but I love it. Thanks so much for sharing that. So the tip there is to take as you go through the next week, to start adjusting the timeline in your calendar based on the actual time that you spent on things. So at the end of the week, you have an accurate reflection of where you spent your time, right? And then you can think about what you need to do. What's the key thing that you first want to give away to document? And as you're thinking from a leadership perspective, we're always thinking about the next thing that we should be giving up, giving away. When we work with teams of leaders on about an annual basis, we do an exercise, love and loathe. And we look at what you love doing and what you hate doing, right? Love and loathe. And then we start to figure out how to spend more time on what you love doing. Well, that means we have to give up something that you hate doing. And there are lots of ways to do that, but the most obvious way is to delegate it, right? Or automate it. Even better if you can automate something or bring a combination of the two, a little bit of automation, a little bit of delegation, so that you can let it go, but have peace of mind, right? Abdicating is, that's a lot more iffy just to say we're not, but there's the unconscious abdication that happens when we ignore something or neglect an area, and we don't want to do that with a key part of your business.
Yeah, of course. So everybody has a to-do list. I like to keep a to-don't list, which is the things I don't want to do anymore. And then every quarter when we sit down at our planning session, I go through that and see if there's someone else on my team that can take over those responsibilities, or if that's a outside contractor or vendor or someone that we need to bring on.
Oh, I love that. So I have a couple clients that we've done this with. Not everybody, but we create and manage a not doing now list, right? So these are good ideas, right? Everybody, it's not a, oh, that's terrible, we're never doing that. It's a, we're not doing it now. Like someday maybe, but we're just being clear. And the process of putting things over on that list helps to focus the regular priorities. So all of our coaches spend a lot of time focusing on your top five priorities per quarter, per year, et cetera, and narrowing that down in the number one thing for the quarter and number one thing for the day. But then that implies all the things that you're saying no to. And it's not no forever. It's like, it's not now. So we've been building that list with a couple of companies, and it's actually a fun kind of thing to do. And I hear you on the personal level, right?
And when you have your list of priorities, though, you can decide that there's five things you're going to focus on, but it's the 50 things that you've made a commitment to not focus on that will continue creeping up in your life if no one else is doing them. And those are the emails that you get, and that's the temptation to want to say yes, and the meetings and the things that the things you want to let go of are sometimes the hardest to let go of. When I was selling my video company, I had an operations director at the time, and I wanted to promote him to president of the company. And so what was a 6-month transition to get me out of the business started as a 1-hour brainstorming session. And we just went through every area of the company that I was still involved with. And what did I do daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, quarterly, annually? And just by going through that time-bound exercise, I got all of the things that, you know, dozens of things or over 100 things at the time that I was still responsible for, you know, the calls with our bookkeeper and looking at the annual statements and the payroll and this and that, and just all those things that you're doing that, you know, maybe they don't take a lot of time, but the collective takes a ton of time.
It does. And it's a really useful discipline and exercise to start to look through. Where does the time go? What do we actually spend our time on? Where do we need to focus? Where can we document? And these are all central to scaling. I think that's probably given people enough to look at. We've said it a million times already, but you'll find trainual.com. So that's train, UL. So TRAINUAL.com, right, is the place to go see the software. And I highly recommend you check it out and see if it's a fit for your business. But even if you don't find it a fit, start to look at both the creating a common, consistent, editable reference, right? The manual side, as well as the learning side. So you're training new hires and recurring training consistently with your people so that you manage the core processes. Trainual.com. I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Chris, thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me. It's great chatting.
And everyone else, if you'd like an intro to scaling up and some of the basic tools, an understanding of how to get your team started running, scaling up leadership planning meetings. We've got tools, agendas, worksheets, the intro to the book, all of that downloadable, as well as podcasts and blog posts like this every week right on our site at scalingupbusiness.com. So go there and register for to get some of that stuff. Get your hands on it. It's all for free. Hope you enjoy it and hope it helps you scale up. Special thanks again to our original growth guru, Vern Harnish. Our show is produced by Nye Obeid. Audio production is done by Podfly Productions. Audio editing by Albert Burge. Our show notes are written by Ayn Codina with proofreading by Tim McGowan. If you got some value out of today's show, please share it with somebody else and let us know the parts that you loved. Thanks again for listening and keep scaling up.